Those who've known me for years and years know I used to be a guide dog user. I haven't had a dog for the last 12 years. But back in 1988, I went and got my first guide dog. The reason I did that after many, many years of being a cane user was when Kim and I moved from Oregon to Massachusetts and I survived my first New England winter, I saw how well she navigated the snow with a dog and how much time I spent slipping and sliding and trying to find my way through the snowdrifts, a problem she did not have with a guide dog. So I went off to the seeing eye and I got my first guide dog, a beautiful male shepherd named Wesley. Those who are guide dog users know that one of the things you're admonished when you head home with a guide dog is not to do much in the way of traveling, to allow the dog to get accustomed to just where home is. Unfortunately, my life has never been filled with a lot of days without travel. I've been to 49 of the 50 states, for example. So I was asked by the ACB National Office to come to Washington, D.C. to testify before a committee of the U.S. Congress. Can't remember the topic. It might have been reauthorization of the Rehab Act or something like that. So because we're so close to Washington, D.C., I knew I could fly down there, do my testimony, and fly back all in one day. Or at least that's what I thought was going to happen. In this particular case, however, Wesley and I took a taxi out to Logan Airport, took a plane down to Washington, D.C., took another taxi up to Capitol Hill to where the hearing was being held, did our speaking, turned around, taxi back to the airport, and back onto a plane, heading back to Logan. And that's where the story started to get a little quirky. We flew back to Boston only to find out that Logan Airport was fogged in and all flights were being diverted. So first we were diverted down to Newark, New Jersey. And no sooner did we arrive there than that airport got fogged in and we weren't allowed to land. So we were diverted a second time. This time to New York City, to LaGuardia Airport. Those who do some flying know that there are airports that are easy to get around and there are airports that are difficult to get around, and LaGuardia is in that difficult side of things. Nonetheless, we landed, and that was all fine and dandy. I figured we'd just rest here now until the airport reopened. But no sooner did we land at LaGuardia than LaGuardia got fogged in and they wouldn't allow planes to fly out. So myself and all of our fellow passengers on that flight were graciously allowed to either wait for the fog to lift, guesstimate somewhere around 6 hours, or they would take us by minibus to the local train station. So most of us opted to go to the local train station. So now Wesley and I, again, in his first trip away from home after graduation, jumped on a minibus. And that minibus took us down to Penn Station, one of New York City's two large metropolitan train stations. But we arrived just in time to have missed the last train out of Penn Station to Boston. So we were all encouraged to find our way over to Grand Central Station and to take a train from there in about 2 hours. So now Wesley and I jumped on a city bus going from one train station to the other. At that second train station, we were lucky enough to get there in time to buy a ticket. But now we had an hour and a half to just sit on our heels. So Wesley and I headed out and walked a couple of blocks to a New York City delicatessen for a marvelous corned beef sandwich. It was spectacular to this day. I'm salivating just thinking of that sandwich right now. But we did make it back to the train station on time, jumped on our train, and off we headed to Boston. Now, I was not a longtime resident here as of that time. So one of the things I did to keep my family back in Oregon apprised of our day-to-day happenings is I carried with me a small cassette tape recorder and kind of journaled what I was doing throughout my day, if it was at all interesting. And certainly this day was proving to be quite interesting. So I'm sitting there in one of those larger seats in this train, certainly bigger seat than I had in the train or any of the other vehicles I had driven on or ridden in that day. And I'm journaling. And we get just over the Massachusetts border when suddenly the train crashed, hit something, rode over it to such a degree that all the gravel along the trail or the rail bed was hitting the underside of the carriage as if we were under machine gun fire. And the train came to as close to a screeching halt as a train can do. All the passengers are screaming and carrying on, but we settle down and it becomes quiet. And it took a while, but eventually a train official came down the aisle, explained that as we came around a blind bend, the train had hit a car that was on the tracks. This was a car that went over a small embankment onto the tracks. It wasn't actually something that should have been a gated way. It had crashed itself onto the tracks. And when the train hit it, it hit it hard enough that it kind of munched the whole car up, and it was stuck underneath the locomotive. And we were asked to please hold on as they tried to jerk the train off of those fragments of that totally demolished car. So it was back and forth and back and forth several times before they came back through and said, well, turns out we can't get it off of the car remainders. So we've sent for a new train to come get you. So we sat there for another hour and a half, 2 hours, as a train was dispatched from Boston out to this place in nowhere to get us. Stopped nose to nose with our locomotive, and we were all escorted off of train number one and into train number two. Those of you who are familiar with how trains are put together may realize that the height of the floor of a train car is quite high.
Join the meeting.
So I had to jump out of the train, turn around, pick my 85-pound journeyman shepherd up, walk up about three car lengths, bench press him back into the train, and get back onto it myself. And we eventually got ourselves back to Boston at 2 a.m. No public transportation, had to arrange with other passengers to share taxis to get home. So Wesley's first trip with me required a taxi, a plane, a taxi, a plane, a taxi, a bus, a train, and a taxi for a one-day trip to Washington, D.C. Needless to say, Wesley was a spectacular guide dog, and I miss him to this day.